Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Attract podcast with your host, Anna Rumbold. In this episode, I interview business mentor Jessica Krieger about closing the strategic and energetic gaps that are currently standing between you and the intentions that you've set in your business. Jess shares so much wisdom in this interview around how we can build a business that intentionally delivers a result for our clients and lights a spark in us at the same time. There is so much gold in this episode, so let's dive in. Hi, Jess. I'm so excited to welcome you to the podcast, and I can't wait to chat with you a little bit more about your business and also about how business owners can close the gaps both strategically and energetically to break through to that next level in business. So first off, I'd love to hear a little bit more about you, your story, what it is that you do today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much, Anna. And yeah, so I essentially help my clients close the gaps that are standing between them and a minimum foundation of $250,000 per year. And I talk about that in terms of a minimum foundation because I just find that that is the kind of baseline that we can get to that creates such a strong foundation that empowers truly limitless growth and opens us up to new types of opportunities that are just not available to us when we're in this cycle of constantly needing to chase cash. And we all have been through those times. Some of us might be in those times right now where we just feel like we have to work so hard every month. And we might be doing okay, but still have to just work so hard in order to get by. And then in order to, you know, kind of achieve those levels of abundance that we want to have, and creating that solid foundation that feels truly sustainable is just such an empowering place to be. And so that's what I work on my clients with, both on the strategic side and the energetic side, because the two really work together and are essential, because the way that we can self-sabotage on the way, no matter how perfect our strategy is just truly incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing about that because I totally resonate with everything that you talk about. And this is one of the reasons as well why I really wanted to chat with you a little bit more about the strategic and the energetic side and the synergy between the two, because to me, it really seems like you can have the strategy, which is often the part that comes first, isn't it? But you've got to get behind it energetically, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. If it was just strategy, then everybody would be hitting multiple six figures in their first year, because the strategic part is really quite simple. And I think that that's the part that messes with people's minds the most, actually, as we really try to overcomplicate it. We start listening to too many different viewpoints, too much external information, and we kind of stop doing a lot of the simple but effective daily things that will create results daily. And I actually find that that's one of the biggest things for people who have hit six figures and then plateau or even go backwards, is we'll hit that first kind of milestone of the 8K to 10K months where we're in that six figure range and convince ourselves now all of a sudden we need to do all of these new things, all these different things, try all these different approaches, and all in this name of attempting to scale perhaps. And it just starts to fall flat because we've stopped doing the things that actually got us where we are in the first place, when realistically what we should be doing is doubling down on what is actually working and simplifying and actually probably doing less, just doing it better so we can continue to grow. And that is really just so deeply controlled by our mind and how we're making our decisions every day.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And it's something I see quite a lot as well, actually. But I think it's such an important conversation. Interestingly, I've had a couple of conversations on this podcast about shiny object syndrome. And it's kind of, it's the, you know, the opposite really of what you were saying there. You know, when you are simplifying, when you're focusing on the needle moving tasks, obviously that's going to be the thing that's going to get you closer to the result. But shiny objects everywhere. And that's kind of, you know, those are the things that are stopping us from moving forwards and simplifying and focusing on those needle moving tasks a lot of the time, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of time it really does feel like saying no to potential opportunities in order to focus on the best opportunity, because every inspired idea is not necessarily like, it doesn't, just because it feels inspired doesn't mean it's the right move for our business right now. And so it's not about holding ourselves back, but it's really about doing less of the things that are distracting us in the shorter term and holding us back from reaching like the big thing we want to achieve in the longer term.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think you've touched on my next question, really, about why you feel it's often quite challenging for people to do that and to actually focus and sort of stay on track, stay in your lane, as it were. So what kind of other challenges do you see come up often?
In terms of, yeah, kind of going off track and staying in your lane, I think like shiny object syndrome really is such an accurate way of talking about it. And I think something that happens is, you know, like planning, you know, January is such a great time to talk about planning, because everybody probably just did their yearly and quarterly plans, got really excited, set out all of these intentions. And we come into the year feeling just so strong, so motivated, just like ready to absolutely kill it this year. But then, you know, even just a few weeks later, we can get more and more disconnected from those intentions that we have set and start making more reactive decisions, taking more reactive action. You know, like maybe we're really focused on a certain type of offer that serves a certain type of client, but then we're seeing a whole bunch of people in our audience who are not a fit for that type of ideal client. And so we start creating stuff for them. Maybe we create a membership, even though we were not intending to create a membership. And we think like, oh, I don't want to leave any money on the table, so let me find a way to serve this audience that I'm not actually that passionate about, or that I'm not even really that interested in serving, or who are just really, truly not ideal clients. But, you know, I could probably find a way to create something for them, to try to save them and to try to get money from them. And it just takes us like kind of pinging off in all of these different directions, when that ultimate goal and that ultimate vision that we promised ourselves we were going to work towards this year just moves further and further away every time we kind of deviate off of the path. And it's not that we should never take intuitive action. It's not that we should ever like have a plan that is so rigid and so structured that like, I'm going to sell this in Q1 and this in Q2 and this in Q3 and this in Q4. And I'm never going to deviate from that. But being able to hold our focus on that higher level vision and on our intentions for how we actually want to grow, and our values and our commitments to our business and to our clients and to our delivery, it helps us to stay kind of with it, like on track within the path, while continuing to follow inspiration without going too far off from what we said we really wanted to do based on who we want to be as leaders and how we want to lead and how we want to grow.
I love this. I'm so behind this. And for me as well, I mean, what you were describing there, it's, and actually I can really see the challenge of it, because it's about holding a standard everywhere, isn't it? A standard with the type of client that you're talking to, a standard in your delivery, a standard in your content. And that can be quite challenging when there are all of these other things, shiny objects, or as you say, kind of whether it's the low hanging fruit, money on the table, all of these different things can make that quite difficult, can't it, to hold those standards?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll give you an example from my own self, honestly, from 2022 now. You know, I have been holding this standard for quite some time now of really focusing on working with my best clients who are in the position to really create the best results. And so for me, that is fairly established leaders in business who are, you know, really ready to go from that six to multiple six figures kind of place in business. And that's who I'm most excited to serve. That's where my energy is most lit up. And those are the people who get results with me every single time they work with me, no matter what kind of capacity. And so I was building that and holding that focus in 2022. And at the same time, you know, memberships were getting so trendy, and I had so many people in my audience who were closer to that zero mark, or who, you know, like that zero to 5K, still figuring out how to make money. And while I know what those people need, they weren't really my ideal client, but there were tons of them in my audience. And I wanted to do something that would help them. And so I created this membership for like $100 a month and was trying to serve this audience, but it just wasn't a fit. Like it was making decent money and I had a lot of people in it, but you know, we were having the same conversations in every call. It would come back to the same conversations and you know, people were just like not fully implementing. Cause again, like a membership is a much more passive way to lead versus the really active collaboration and higher touch environments that I'm most passionate about. And so I was really losing my passion for it because I felt like I was just giving all of this information that couldn't be utilized to its full potential. And it's not that there was anything wrong with the clients in that space. It just wasn't the environment that was going to create the best chance for them to succeed. And so I was not passionate about it and I ended up closing it. And it was one of the best things that I did. And really, you know, if we come back even to the mindset side of things, it's not our job to try to fix everything for everyone and try to be available to everyone who might potentially want to work with us. And it's also not our job to try to make non-ideal clients into ideal clients. Like there are so many people out there right now in this very moment who are ready for your highest transformation, who are ready and like bring what they need to bring to the table and like want support in achieving the transformation that you're actually most passionate about delivering. And what was so great about that learning experience for me was like, I don't need to create this system where people need to grow with me from 0 to 5K and then 5K to 10K and try to like build them into ideal clients. Like, I don't need to do that. That's not my job. And it's not the most like highest integrity way to serve our people either. It wasn't doing them the best service. It wasn't doing me the best service. And it just letting that go opened me up to be able to fully 100% focus on my people, my highest level ideal clients who are really ready for the transformation. And so that is what I use as my guiding light now when I'm making decisions in my business, is not like, what is there an opportunity to make money with this? Is there something different I should be doing? I'm always looking at my delivery and my commitment to delivering the best results with my best clients. And so that's kind of my North Star guiding light. That's always the question. Like, is this going to improve my delivery? Is this going to create a better experience for my clients? Is this aligned with that vision? Or is this a distraction? Is this maybe a reactive decision based on something that would be, you know, a quick cash injection that could make me some money today, but ultimately might even hurt me in the long run of business? And just having that clear intention really helps me stay on path while being intuitive with offers and being able to create new and different types of things, but that are very intentional and actually support the brand that I'm growing.
I'm really with you on this. I feel really passionately about it as well. And what you've just said there makes total sense, everything about it. And I agree as well that it's really operating from that place of integrity for me. And it just makes sense to me. It logically makes sense. And one thing actually that I'd love to chat with you a little bit about, because I don't know if this is something that you've seen or experienced, you know, in your own business and the clients that you've worked with and the people who are you're talking to online. In a typical, let's say, traditional business model, we carve out a space in the market, don't we? And then we go and we're really clear. If you've got business, you're super clear on who you want to attract. So you go out and you do, you know, your marketing activities are there to attract that kind of person. Where I sometimes think that this slight shift has sort of happened in the online space is that we go out and the market is there. So let's say on social media, at the market, the ideal client exists, but we get followers and these followers are in our audiences. It can be easy to kind of think those are the people that we have to market to. But actually, the audience is wider than that, isn't it? But that's why it's quite unique, isn't it? Social media almost gives us this idea that we have to market to the people in our audience. And I do think that this can sometimes cause this issue where we might feel like we've outgrown our audience, or we start to lower our standards, or we start speaking to people that we don't actually want to attract. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked this. This is one of my favorite things to talk about because it really is It's so prevalent. I think so many people feel this way. And it's honestly such a simple answer. And so with the type of work that I do with, you know, helping my clients go from that, again, like, you know, 8 to 10K-ish to actually consistent recurring minimum 21,000, which creates that 250,000 per year foundation. One of the things every single one of my clients has done so far that I've worked with in order to do that is elevate their ideal client. And so that's right. We're talking about like raising the standards for the ideal clients that you are targeting, that you're creating for, that you're creating offers for, and that you're speaking to in your content. And so when my clients do this, they get really excited about it. And then at least 3/4 of them will pretty quickly come in and say, okay, I feel like none of these ideal clients are in my audience, or there's very few of them. They're not paying attention to me. But of course they're not paying attention to you yet, because you haven't been creating something that is worthy of their attention. And so when we are creating only based on the people we see watching right now, that is who you're going to continue to replicate in your audience. And so this is where that internal work is so important, because we need to create for our most empowered ideal client and allow ourselves to have tunnel vision on that person, even when they are not the most prevalent person in our audience or the loudest group in our audience. And when we consistently create content that is worthy of their attention and create opportunities daily for them to enter our audience and to see the content that is targeted for them, which is now worthy of their attention, they will stick around. And something that I like to always bring my clients back to is everything happens one client at a time. And so you don't need all 200 people who are watching your stories to be ideal clients. You only need one of them to be an ideal client today. And then you can get another one tomorrow, so you have two. And then another one the next day, so you have three. And that creates results. Like, it's so simple. And we overthink it so much of like trying to control our audience and who's watching and who's paying attention in all of these other ways of like trying to hack the algorithm, or like, you know, what can I do when the right people are not watching me? And the answer is just always give them something that is worthy of their consumption. Give them something that is so good that they're not going to want to go anywhere else, that they're going to, when they see you for the first time, when you've created that opportunity for them to come into your audience, and now they're there, now they're seeing your content, make your content so good for them individually that they wouldn't dream of walking away from it.
I couldn't agree more with everything that you've just said there. And I love how logical it is, actually. I've always talked about content and how it is the content that will get people sticking around, always. So I love how you've just taken that from step one all the way down to creating that opportunity for them to buy from us. And I think, you know, I can totally understand the challenges of that, but actually trying to appease everything is actually the thing that's preventing that ideal client to identify themselves in our content. So it can be a challenging shift to make, can't it? You know, I've certainly been there in the past, but I love the reframe around you're only looking for your one next client today. That is just so powerful. And I know from my experience, and I speak to lots of people who have experienced the same, I've had somebody follow me and within a couple of hours, they're a client. So when you think of it like that, it no longer becomes this thing that just feels exhausting. Like, where is my next client? When are they going to find me? It's feeling hard. Nobody's in my audience. Nobody's listening, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that very same day that client followed you and bought from you, someone else may have entered your audience who bought from you 6 months later. And that's where consistency truly comes from. You know, not trying to, force any individual to be ready before they are ready, but to create opportunities today that will pay off today and next week and 3 months from now and 6 months from now and 12 months from now. And that's where that consistency is really, truly built. And we have the opportunity to create those opportunities every single day. And so I always like to think about like what will be happening in my business as a result of the effort that I have put in today. Like if my business 3 months from now was based purely on what I did today and who I chose to be today, what will my business look like 3 months from now? And like proceed accordingly.
That's such a good prompt as well, actually. I love that. In fact, I was going to ask you as well, if there are kind of any other prompts or tasks or just little piece of advice that you could give to somebody who's listening today, who is kind of, they are aware that they want to speak to their highest level client. They want to start shifting everything so that it's really targeted at this person, but they just want some advice to kind of get going with this, to make sure that they are setting themselves up so that in 3 months' time, they can sort of look at that consistency and say, you know, they've been taking the steps towards their goals.
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, if I was at 1K and wanted to get to 10K, or if I was at 10K and wanted to get to 20K, some of the details are going to be a little bit different, but the steps, like the focus, the non-negotiables are going to actually be the same. And so for me, if I was going to make a 90-day commitment, that would look like every day. Let me dial back for just 1 second. First of all, let's make sure that I am focused on my most empowered ideal client, which means that it is the person who's actually in the position to create the result that I'm selling. Whether I'm selling relationship coaching, consulting, business coaching, like what we do, health and wellness, like it doesn't matter what the niche is. Focus on your most empowered ideal client who actually wants the transformation you're selling and is in the position to create that transformation. And then I'm going to make sure that I have built my offer to deliver that transformation. So not creating a 6-month offer, because everybody creates a 6-month offer. And so it's 6 months with weekly coaching calls and Voxer support. And like this, just, you know, plug it into this offer template. It might be a 6-month offer, but it's not built for the sake of being a 6-month offer. It's built by asking, okay, what do I need to deliver to make it impossible that this client does not succeed? How do I need to show up in this offer? What do they need? What do I need to make sure they're getting? How do I need to structure it that is going to set them up for the highest possible chance of success, so I know they're going to win with this offer, and that's going to deliver the best results to my best clients? And so then coming from that, every single day, we need to be creating opportunities for the right people to enter our audience. So I'll put that as number one, but these are not in any kind of specific order, okay? This is all equal importance, but we need the right people to be coming into our audience every day. So this could be like just hands-on lead generation, going out and finding your ideal clients, having conversations with them, creating those opportunities for them to see that you exist. This can be ads. This can be going on podcasts and getting in front of other audiences, or doing guest expert sessions, going to live events, networking. Every single day, create opportunities for the right people to enter your audience, though. And then just like, you know, you said, that client found you and hired you roughly within the same day. That's because of opportunities that you created that day. And we can, of course, be open to surprises, but things are going to be happening and moving so much faster when we are actively putting in that effort to bring the right people into our audience every day. So that's number one. Number two is find an opportunity to serve. And so this can be through your content, through creating genuinely valuable content for this best client, and considering, like, ask yourself, how can I serve this ideal client today? Like, what is something that would genuinely serve this person? Maybe it's teaching them something. Maybe it's a perspective shift. Maybe it's showing them what's possible for them. Maybe it's going live. Maybe it's doing free calls even. Like, maybe, I don't know, get innovative. Find, like, experiment, innovate, find opportunities to serve your people, and you will never be losing when you're serving. This is always what I tell my clients. Like, if you're stressed out, if you're feeling overwhelmed about everything that you have to do, if you're feeling like, oh my God, the goal is far away, push it all out for a minute and come back to yourself and find an opportunity to serve, because you just can't, you're never losing, you're never failing when you are serving. So that's number two. The third one would be create opportunities to connect. And so this is taking that, you know, kind of engagement piece deeper and building actual relationships and connections with your audience. So this can be actually talking to the people who you have in your audience. engaging with people, when people are engaging with you, engaging back with them, like actually creating this community feel, whether your primary platform is Facebook or Instagram or wherever else it might be that you're focused on, LinkedIn. You know, we can put up such a wall between ourselves and our clients. And I find one of the things that a lot of my clients say to me is that they don't, when they sign, when they're working with me, is they feel like they're not different from me. They don't feel like they've put me on some kind of pedestal. They don't feel like I'm something that's doing something unattainable or some kind of secret. You know, they don't have to go through my VA in order to ever speak to me and get support and talk to me. Like, they have that relationship very often that is building before they've even bought from me. And so they're comfortable and they feel safe to have sales conversations with me because I treat them like humans when they're in my audience. So create those opportunities to connect. It's really, really valuable. And then finally, create compelling opportunities to buy every single day. If we're selling an offer, if we want to sign a client today, we need to create an opportunity for our best client to buy our best offer today. And so that's, again, like, allow yourself to innovate. This can be your typical sales posts, go into stories, share client results, talk about the offer itself, talk about why you're so excited about the offer. Like, there are truly limitless ways that we can talk about an offer and, you know, pull at different kinds of threads and look at things from different angles to help make the decision to buy really easy for our people. And when we're creating those compelling opportunities every day, it helps to make that decision easy for them and they do buy. So those would be my four non-negotiables. If I was going to do it like a 90-day, let me just completely blow up my business and change everything for myself, I'm doing all four of those things every single day.
I love that. That is going to be incredible value, I think, for everybody listening. I think, you know, it just makes total sense. And yeah, I love actually how descriptive you were there as well with how you're actually going to go out and achieve those things. Sometimes, you know, we sort of hear the loose kind of result, but you've really taken us through it there. As a bit of a consumer nerd, actually, myself, I think one of the things I love about it is that that's what you're doing. It's so simple, yet so effective, isn't it? You are literally just making sure that you are doing things that move the needle for each point in the client journey. And it just makes total sense to me. That's what our marketing needs to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we start falling into a place where we're really attracted to or thinking like, okay, there's some kind of secret, there's something I don't understand, or there's like some kind of thing that I'm not doing, some kind of thing that like all these people must be doing that I don't understand, it's just such a sign that we don't actually trust the effectiveness of the work that we are doing, because this stuff does work. Like, marketing works. There's nothing so special about somebody that if you have a great offer and you are great at selling it, that is not going to work. That will work. It is just a matter of time. And where we run into problems is if the messaging is ineffective, if you don't fully back your own offer, or the offer is not strong enough. Like, it's the effectiveness behind these actions. If you're not clear enough on your ideal client, or you have an ideal client in your head and you're focusing on someone else when you're actually creating, like, this is where problems come in. It's so easy to default back to kind of the lowest common denominator in our audience and get that inspiration from our most challenging clients or from the largest group within our audience. And we start pulling inspiration from people who are not our actual ideal clients. And so we're speaking to non-ideal clients. And then even though we've written this beautiful ideal client down in our journal, now 3 months later, we're wondering like, why am I attracting this same type of person over and over and over again, even though I've up-leveled my ideal client? But it's because the way that we are implementing and the energy that we are bringing into our creation and who we're actually focusing on in our mind when we are creating does not match our ideal client on paper. And so that's a little bit of a tangent. I love a tangent, but it really is like always come back to just making that effectiveness just 1% better every day. So if you're connecting, serving, creating opportunities for people to buy, bringing new people into your audience, like, just think like, how can I do this just a little bit better today than I did yesterday? It's not about checking the boxes. This is like active, powerful, intentional creation. And the more we do it, the better it gets. It might feel a little bit hard on the first week, but 60 days into it, you're going to have experimented. You're going to have pushed yourself to have found different ways to sell every single day. And you start to get more creative. You start to get more innovative. Better messaging starts to come out of you as well, because the more you speak about it, the more you naturally land on things that feel really good and start to drop things that might feel a little bit stiff or misaligned. And so your everything, like the messaging gets better, the connection gets better, the serving gets better, because you're doing it. And that repetition is just so important too.
Absolutely. And actually, what you've described there to me is exactly what closing the gaps looks like. And also what you're saying, interesting, I had a conversation with somebody on the podcast the other day, Bianca Robinson it was, and she was saying, you know, quality doesn't become quality without quantity. And it makes sense. Yeah, the repetition. And I love what you were saying, that when you are selling every day, you're constantly elevating, you're getting 1% better, but you do need to be getting that message out there consistently to keep improving that, don't you?
Yes, exactly. And just something that you said there just sparked this for me too. Like when we're talking about selling every day, it's not just coming on and sharing some screenshots and then the same Canva slides every single day. We see people do this all the time and I think they just become white noise. And I really believe like our perfect Canva slides will attract our warmest people in the first like 48 hours that we're using them. And then they become just less and less effective when we are not going into our offers and pulling at threads and talking about things from different angles and actually like building our own creativity in how we're talking about them and selling them versus like, oh, hey, here's a client result. And now here's the same Canva slides about what's in the offer and what's included and how great it's going to be that people are just flipping through because they've seen it a million times.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a phrase that I often refer back to is if you can communicate it in 10 different ways, you can sell it them in 10 different ways. And I actually like that. And I think especially it's important to think about different buyer types as well. And, you know, especially when it comes to emotion and logic that you've always kind of, you ask, and like, I love actually what you said there, pulling out different threads. Some things might spark more of a desire in one person than it does in another.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I love this conversation. Everything that you've said there, I love how you apply logic. I do the same, I think, with my thinking. Like it just makes so much logical sense. And I can really see how this is what is going to close the gaps for you. I love this. I'd love to ask you, actually, so get a question that I ask all of the guests on this podcast, what building your business on your terms looks like for you, like how you're, I mean, I absolutely love everything you've explained, you know, how you're working with like your best clients and how you're prioritizing that. But yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So I think like building your business on your terms, it just really means understanding yourself and what you want to create. And I think in your first few years of business, we need to go through a lot of trial and error. We basically need to fail up until we find where we're really meant to be and what we're really meant to be doing. And doing things on your terms and actually building on your terms, for me, it's knowing who you are and what you're here to do, who you're here to serve, and like what the real purpose is behind what you are doing, and then letting yourself tunnel vision on that. And, you know, never stop learning, but also we don't need to take feedback from every possible source on the internet and in our lives. And so when we know what we are here to do and we can hold our focus on the things that are building to what we need to do, regardless of what might be trendy in the industry, regardless of what might be happening in the economy, regardless of what, you know, even some of the really tricky things that pop into our brains sometimes, like when we can come back to knowing who we are and what we're here to do, we're not going to lose. And I think that's how we actually become innovators versus followers. Because it is really an identity shift, kind of going from being that person who's looking to everyone else on Instagram to see what strategy they're using, what they're selling, how they're selling it, how they're talking about it, what kind of language they're using, and shifting into that, you know, true leader role, that innovator role, where you are the one leading. You are the one people are watching now. You are the one they are looking to see how you are selling, how you are saying it, what you are creating, how you are doing it. And that really is only possible when we know who we are and we know what our purpose is and why we're doing what we're doing and really what we're working towards.
Yeah, I love that actually. I think that's a really nice reminder. And what you said at the beginning there, actually, a really great piece of advice that I once consumed somewhere was about how when you take things with a pinch of salt, you kind of filter, don't you? You filter the advice, you filter the strategies that you consume. And I think that's actually a really, really quite helpful piece of advice to follow, because you start to recognize, or at least you know that, you know, these things aren't you. So if you stay in your lane and you are the person who you know that you are, the leader that you are, and you take everything else with a pinch of salt. So I love what you said there. I think it's really relevant.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, I would say too, just as you're speaking there, has me thinking, you know, if you're pre six figures, try all the things, like set your intentions and figure out what you want to do. And just don't be afraid to try things. Like, don't ever just sit stagnantly. If we are not creating the kind of results we want, there is always an opportunity today to create the result that we want. And when we're going into every day with this, you know, drive to actively create the results that we want to create, we do just tap into new ways of doing things and new opportunities that were not available to us when we're kind of checking boxes and sitting back and waiting for things to happen. And you only get good by trying things. And, you know, like I talked about my membership that I started and I closed. I don't regret it. I mean, it's a great learning opportunity to talk about here. And some people have memberships that they absolutely love. I never would have known. I might have started another membership if I hadn't started that one, because I didn't have that learning experience, right? And so it wasn't a failure. It was just a bump in the road for me. And it was just something that I needed to learn from. And so, you know, when we're talking about being purposeful and intentional and knowing who you are and what you want to do, know who you are and what you want to do, and also let yourself experiment, let yourself fail. Because anybody who's winning more than you is also failing more than you. We just don't see it as much because the wins end up overshadowing it. But the challenges are normal. The fears are normal. The failures, the stumbles are normal. Like, do things, try things, and just be resilient to move on to the next thing and to just keep moving and keep closing those gaps between where you are now and where you want to be. And that's how we make our goals inevitable. Like, you will get there.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is gold advice for anybody listening. I think, yeah, I absolutely, it's failing and accepting that, you know, it's part of business acumen, isn't it, as well? I love that. And from a personal point of view, building your business on your terms, I imagine that a lot of what you do reflects exactly, you know, your ethos and everything that you talk about. But yeah, I'd love to hear any more context around that.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, I had to do a lot of like building and then breaking down and then rebuilding, which I share quite openly about. But, you know, like this time last year, I had let go of one of my highest paying clients because of an integrity issue in terms of how she was creating and what she was selling. I had, within Q1 of 2023, I had two clients leave a long-term mastermind 3 months into a 6-month contract. The relationships were fine. They were doing fine, but it just wasn't the right place for them to be. And something that, you know, at that time, that was hard. It was scary. You know, like, I had enough money coming in, but it's scary to see recurring that you have locked in going down. And it was a real turning point for me throughout 2023, where I just really did, like, I went all in on not selling things to make money, not creating what feels easy to sell or easy to fill, but going just really truly all in on the clients who I really knew are at the point where they are ready to move with me and to create the kind of results that I know that we're capable of creating together. And so in doing that, I shifted my offer suite very much last year. I, you know, kind of flipped your typical sales stack on its head. And I have all of my clients coming in now into my highest ticket offer first. Like, that's the only way to enter any kind of real mentorship with me, is to come into my highest ticket offer first, because I know how that's how we can get each individual to the result that they have bought. And so I'm working on a 100% success rate with my clients in 2024. And that is only possible by saying no to offers and money and clients and mentors who are not a 100% yes fit. And so if I'm thinking about what looks different for me really truly doing things on my terms, it's not having the typical offer stack that you might see in a lot of different businesses, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. This is not about anyone else's business structure. This is about my business structure. And I think it does really come back to this point of just being able to do things differently and to be able to confidently do things differently, which is possible when we know why we're doing what we're doing. And so for me, everything, every decision comes to, how can I make sure every client who enters my world is getting the result they paid for or something even better? And so, you know, I closed the mastermind, even though, like, yeah, those two clients had left, there were still 8 people in the mastermind. It was making me $15,000 to $25,000 a month. I closed that mastermind last year because even though some people were creating really good results, not everyone was creating results. And so I knew that there was a better way for me to serve my people, a better way for me to make sure that everybody coming in was going to be getting the high ticket results that were a match for the high ticket price tags that they were paying. And so that took a lot of breaking down in 2023. Like, I had to let a lot of things go. I had to restructure things. I had to change things and really rebuild a lot throughout 2023, which has brought me to where I am now in 2024, where my long-term clients at this point, like, my long-term clients have been with me for a minimum of 8 months, and some of them are coming into their third year with me right now. Like, January would be the start of their third year with me. So retention is extremely good because of the results that they are creating. My entry offer is sitting at 100% success rate right now for the last quarter, and I'm making sure that we're carrying that into throughout 2024 as close as humanly possible, at least as it is to keep hold that 100% success rate. And that's, I mean, like, that's my tunnel vision right now. That's my obsession. That's what I'm doing. And yeah, I would say that that is how I'm doing things on my terms.
Thank you for sharing that. I love hearing about it. And you really are just totally an embodiment of everything that you've talked about in this podcast, everything I've ever heard you talk about before. So it's so, I'm really happy that you came on here and shared all of this amazing wisdom, to be honest, and also some more about, you know, the way that you're doing things. So yeah, I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, like, something that I do want to share too, just with all of that, because I know it can sound really scary, you know, letting clients go, saying no to money. And there was, you know, that rocky little phase where things, like, did feel scary. And there's something that I can always fall back on, which is just, I know I'll always figure it out. Like, since leaving my job and going full-time in my business years ago, I have never not had money. I have never not figured it out. And so I have that as kind of my lowest level baseline, is like, if I woke up tomorrow with zero, I know that I would still be able to go make money. Like, if I had zero recurring coming in, I know I'd still be able to go make money. Like, my recurring income does not define me and what's possible for me. And while I had some nice looking numbers in 2022 and 2023, the recurring income always felt rocky. It never really felt safe because some of my clients felt rocky, not all of them. Again, like I've said, some of them are going on 3 years now. So of course, some of them have been really amazing, but some of them were people that I couldn't fully trust and didn't pay on time, or, you know, were always on the verge of not being able to pay. And that put me in a place that did not feel safe. Even if I was looking at what was technically 15 to 20K in recurring income, it just didn't feel safe because the clients didn't feel safe. And so in elevating the ideal client and the standards that I was holding myself to, and then therefore also the clients that I was bringing into my world. Now, after having going through that breaking down period and the rebuilding and the very like big intentions, now it is truly secure. It is so safe because I'm working with clients who I can trust. And so I can also trust my income.
Yeah, I love that. And really, that's probably, I would say 99% of people who are in business, that's their goal, isn't it really? To create some kind of security for themselves and their families included, perhaps their employees included. So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
Love this conversation. You know, thank you so much for joining. And I think the goal there that you've dropped is incredible. So I think the listeners are going to really, really find it helpful. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna.